Hello, welcome to the Lean of Plants podcast. My name is Chelsea, and if you are struggling to lose weight on a plant-based diet, then this podcast is for you. While there are thousands of books, podcasts, and resources about the benefits of a plant-based diet, the reality is that being vegan does not guarantee losing weight. If you are feeling frustrated and confused about where to start, or you know exactly what you should be doing, but you just can't seem to rustle up enough willpower to do it, then keep listening. In this podcast, you'll learn the truth about plant-based weight loss, but just as importantly, how to use proven methods of behavioral change to turn what you know into lifelong habits that lead to getting and staying lean. Can't wait to get started. Let's do this. Ginger, thank you so much for hopping on the podcast today. I'm so excited to talk to you because you have got a phenomenal story. And I remember it must have been last year. Was it last year? Then we had an initial conversation and you were telling me what your goals were, that you wanted to fly out to a Navy base and see your son. And that was something difficult to do at your current weight. Before we get into all of that good stuff, can you just share with us who you are, like what your dieting history is, just a little bit about yourself?
Sure thing. It was about a year ago, just almost exactly when we had that conversation. My story is probably similar to a lot of people. I've been yo-yo dieting my whole life. I started out kind of a chubby kid. I wouldn't say I was the biggest in class, but, you know, had some there, had a few times in my life where I lost weight, but it would always come back on with more, and then binge eating, stress eating, emotional eating. I was just on this yo-yo cycle that I just could not break. I could for a little bit, but then I'd go right back because I wasn't changing any habits.
Well, how old were you when you started dieting?
The first time I had a diet, I was 19 or 20.
Okay. And how many diets do you think that you did between 19 and then when you first joined Lean of Plants?
I don't know, probably 30 or 40. I don't know. I just tried. So it seems like I was all the time trying to diet.
So what do you think was the reason that those diets didn't work for you?
Well, for one thing, I was starving myself. And for the other, I wasn't changing any habits. So it wasn't helping me figure out why I would eat emotionally or how to have strategies not to stress eat or even how to eat properly. It was all about calories.
Okay. And so tell me a little bit about like where you're at now. How much weight have you lost in the past year since we talked?
I've lost 35, which is amazing to me. The biggest thing is that I have lost that without starving, which I frankly did not think was possible. I thought the only way you could lose weight is if you knuckled down and starved yourself. So I can't believe how much food I get to eat and I'm not hungry. And yet the scale continues to go down slowly more as I'm toward my last 5 pounds, but still on that downward trend. Yeah. It's like a miracle. I didn't think that could happen.
There's so much in this and I can't wait to unpack it all, but tell me a little bit about like what was going through your head when you thought that this was never going to happen or that it wasn't possible.
I was truly at a crossroads. I was like, I'm either going to figure out how to get rid of this weight once and for all, or I'm just going to give up and balloon into who knows what. And I remember I was waiting for it to open because I got in right as you were doing the change. So I was waiting for the next one to open and I was in line at Starbucks and I watched this lady get out of her car and she was about my age and she was overweight and you could tell when she walked that she was uncomfortable, it hurt. Mm. But the thing that struck me is she was so defeated. Her shoulders were down, her head was down and I knew she'd just given up and that's how I felt. I'm like, if I can't figure this out, there's no hope for me. I might as well just give up. And I didn't want to be there, but that's how I felt, is if I don't find something, then I've tried my whole life to do this and clearly I can't do it. And I didn't want to be that way. And so I was waiting to start with Lean with Plants. And then you had done that switch right then and I got in with the coaching.
Wow, it sounds like that was like quite an impactful moment where you realized like, I want to make a last ditch effort.
Yeah. And I didn't want to give up. I mean, I didn't want to. I just didn't know what else to do. Nothing was working. Nothing was working. And hadn't for years.
And you're not someone who is in their early 20s as well. Like, you're someone who, like, how old are you, Ginger?
I am 59.
Okay. Was there anything going through your head before you started to lose these 35 and that come off relatively easily about your age affecting that process? Was there any beliefs that you had about why it had been so hard to lose up until that point?
Oh, people were always telling, everybody's always saying, as you get older, you know, you're going to gain weight when you get older. You're not going to be able to get it off when you get older. So I certainly had that kind of a thought process in back of my head, but there's a difference between continuing to gain and maybe gaining a few pounds that you're struggling to get rid of. So, I mean, I've been struggling my whole life, not just once I hit menopause.
Right.
So I didn't connect the two. This had just been my lifelong struggle.
So what was the reason in your mind when you were like, take us back a year ago, you knew this was your last ditch effort. What kind of things were you thinking was the reason that you couldn't lose weight? Now you've obviously learned that you just needed to eat a whole lot more and build some habits. But at that point, what did you think your issue was?
I thought I didn't have enough willpower, that I just was weak and I just couldn't do what should be a simple thing.
Oh my goodness. So,
yeah. Of course, I've learned a lot since then, but you know.
Walk me through that. Like, what kind of things or behaviors did you have that were making you feel that way?
Well, I would restrict what I was eating. So I was constantly hungry because you had to reduce your calories to lose weight. That was the only way to do it. And because I was constantly hungry, I had no, you know, I would give in and eat sweets or chips, or I would have a binge because I was so hungry, I couldn't control it. And then I'd be in that cycle where, you know, now I'm a failure and I can't do this. And then I would binge and stress eat some more and just kind of get in that. It was kind of like a gerbil cage, you know, on their wheel. I couldn't get out of it. And I thought the problem was me. You know, one of my favorite podcasts when you talked about our systems were the problem was like this huge eye opener, because I thought I was the problem and I didn't know how to fix it.
Yeah. Cause I mean, I think there's so many people who feel that same way. I know that I used to think, like, why can't I just have as much willpower as these skinny girls online that are somehow eating fully raw and restricting their calories and eating tiny portions? I know this is probably like somewhat painful, but I'd love to hear that feeling of feeling like you were failing because you couldn't stay consistent in a diet. Like, did that have any effect in how you viewed yourself in other areas? Like, did that have a knock-on effect to any other parts of your life?
Absolutely. I felt like I was a failure. I was just a failure at everything. If I could, you know, anytime something didn't go right or the way I wanted, you know, it was such, I just felt such a failure that it just was everywhere. You know, if you'd asked me a year ago, you know, what I was, I would say I'm a failure. You know, because all these things are just, it just felt so out of control. It just covered everything in my life. And I thought about how I weighed and how I looked. And I thought about it all the time. I could not think about it. So it just, it colored how I was thinking on things.
And how did that affect like your relationships and your confidence and how you tackled other things apart from weight loss?
Well, I had no confidence at all. It made me afraid to do things. I was afraid to try things because I was a failure here. If I couldn't do that, how could I do other things? And I know that sounds really stupid, but that's how I felt. So I just didn't do things because I was afraid I'd fail.
We think it sounds stupid, but there's just so many people who feel the same way. I knew that I definitely felt the same way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep.
What do you feel now?
I feel like a whole new person. I feel like, and I'm still learning who I am. I feel like I'm finally learning who I'm supposed to be, and I'm learning how to be confident. I'm not all the way there yet, but I'm learning to do new things, and I just feel like a completely different person.
What kind of things have you learned about yourself in the last year that you've been on this journey?
I have learned that I can do hard things. I have learned that failure is okay. And that everyone failed.
Yes.
And that's right. fail faster and fail forward. And that's so freeing. And I use it all the time. If I don't eat what I want or something, it doesn't even have to be around food. But then I think about why did I do that and come up with a strategy to keep it from happening again. And I don't view it as a bad thing anymore, where I did before it was a negative. So that's a huge thing. I've learned the power of tiny steps has been huge. I know when I first listened to that podcast, which was right before I started, it didn't make sense to me. And once I joined the pod, my steps were too big. So I wasn't understanding how that could help. And I thought it was like kind of silly, but I was wrong.
Yeah, everyone does. The funniest part is when people join and we say like, okay, we're going to make things smaller. We're going to make things easier. We're going to eliminate the need for willpower. And like, no, that doesn't work. It's like, well, has willpower ever worked for you in the past? Like, please, like, let's prove this wrong.
That's right. So they're powerful. Tiny steps are powerful. So I've learned that. I'm worth preparing a meal for. I'm worth prepping food for. I'm worth advocating for myself for.
Chills.
I've felt these things before. So, you know, that's a big change for me.
Wow. And do people around you, have they noticed this change?
Most people around me haven't commented on things. I think some people have. I think my daughter has. I think my son has, although we're not around each other a whole lot since he's not here. But I think some of my friends have noticed. Nobody's really commented, but I think some people have noticed some things.
Yeah, because this was something that stood out to me when we first had that conversation, is that you wanted to go out and see your son at the Navy base. Can you tell us that story? Like, what were you wanting to achieve when you first joined around that Navy base story?
You had asked me if there were things my weight was holding me back on, and that was one of them. And I don't like flying anyway, but I was always too self-conscious. I always felt like everyone was judging me, and you know, and I was afraid to do that. And so I was able to get a long weekend at the end of July, and I booked the flight. I booked the hotel. I did the rental car. I navigated 3 different airports. I drove in a new area, and I fit in the seat, you know, when they were bringing the carts, you know, you always have to move your shoulder in. And I was like, oh, I don't have to move my shoulder in. really excited about that. I almost wanted to laugh, but I thought people would think I was really weird. But it was a huge thing that I was able to do that. And I had a 3-day weekend. I was able to see him. And then I went and saw things around that area where he's stationed. Cause of course he was working, he wasn't free the whole time, but I would never have done that before. I'd have been too self-conscious and too afraid. Mm. And so I wasn't thrilled about flying. I just put my head up and shoulders back and pretended I knew what I was doing. So I still wasn't thrilled with flying, and it had been the first time I'd flown in it'd been 15 years since my last flight. So it'd been quite a while, and never alone. I'd never flown alone. So I was quite proud of myself, actually.
Yeah. I mean, you should be. Like, you set a goal, you lost the weight, you flew out, you did scary things. How did that experience feel as the realization of that big goal that in some ways you just didn't think you were ever going to get to?
No, when we first met, I didn't think I'd ever be able to do that. I didn't think actually that I would probably lose the weight. Like I said, I was just desperate to try something. I was proud of myself that I did it. I don't know. It felt really good. It felt really good. And I'll do it again too when I have some time. We just got back from a driving visit to see him. So that was fun too.
That's crazy. I love hearing stories like this because it helps to inspire people about what's possible. Like, you come in and you think, well, how am I ever going to make changes? And then you actually see that happen to yourself over time. And it's like, wow, I can do anything now.
Yeah.
Because I've got the proof. I've got the evidence.
Yeah. It was a huge deal for me to even book the flight. It was just a big deal. So yeah, I never would have done that. I would have dreamed of doing it, but I never had the courage to do it and then to follow through.
Love that. That's a phenomenal story. And I'd love to hear from you in terms of diet and how you eat now. What is the biggest change that you've made to be successful?
Being consistent is crucial. When I started within 3 days, my coach had been like, you're not eating enough carbs, because I was afraid of carbs, you know, because carbs make you fat. And so she helped me eat more food, which I was terrified to do, but I wasn't hungry anymore. So it was really easy for me to stay consistent because I was fueled up and I felt good about how I was eating. So once I wasn't starving, it became a lot easier.
That's a huge thing.
Being consistent is important. You can't eat one day one way and another day the other day. And then when things are, and applying those strategies for when you're in curveball situations or those kind of things. Like, we just took a driving trip to see my son and I had all my plans, but I didn't travel alone. I traveled with my husband. So not all my plans came to fruition. Mm. So I had to do some next best choices that I had not anticipated doing, but I've learned and I have a better strategy in my head for the next time we take a driving trip. But, you know, being as consistent as you can is important, and not starving yourself.
Mm.
Eat the food.
It sounds like there's a big change just even in how you spoke about that situation where you couldn't make all the most amazing choices, but you use that as a learning experience, as opposed to before, would you have seen yourself as a failure because it didn't go according to plan?
I would have probably seen myself as a failure, but what I also probably would have done and not even tried, because it was vacation. Mm. So vacation means eat whatever you want, do whatever you want, and start again when you get back. And I didn't do that. And I didn't want to do that. So, I mean, overall, I did pretty well. It was just frustrating when some of my plans fell through. But like I said, we learn. So I have a better plan for how to do it next time. But yeah, I wouldn't even tried before. I'd have just eaten whatever I wanted because it was vacation.
Because it's vacation, right? So obviously your mindset has changed around this. Like, talk me through when and where that changed, where you're going, hey, I want to stay the same kind of person. I want to eat the way that I do when I'm on vacation, when I'm not. Like, when did that take place?
I would say I started the week before Thanksgiving. I'm going to say by January-ish, I was feeling really confident in how I was eating and I was seeing the progress, and I knew that this made sense and that I could do this for the rest of my life. You know, it wasn't a hardship. So probably around that time. And so I don't eat out at it. I used to always want to eat out and do those kind of things. And that's not really what I want to do anymore. I do have some regular time out with friends. So that's an important time to be with my friends, particularly now that I'm an empty nester. That's really important to be with my friends.
Yeah.
So I choose restaurants that I can go to and have a good meal. And if I can't, then I'll eat ahead of time and just get a cup of tea or a glass of tea and meet with them. But I'm really not interested in going out like I used to be. I'm looking forward to my meals that I have at home. So today we got back from our trip 3 hours ago and I was like, I want my air fried potatoes and hummus. I miss those on the trip. My husband's like, should we stop somewhere for dinner? No. I'm going to eat at home.
Well, that's so important for people to hear that. I love that you're saying this, because it's understanding that at some point, if you're on this journey and you're eating consistently, you're making the kind of choices that align with who you want to be, you're looking at food as fuel. And like we all love donuts. We all love stopping and getting chips and fries. But if we're doing this in a way that actually is sustainable, you do reach a point where you just want to keep going because it's who you are now. Like, I love that you actually mentioned that you've gotten to the point almost organically where you go, I don't want to live like that anymore. It was no one's forced you or twisted your hand to say, hey, you can never go and eat out again.
No, or you can never have sweets, or you can never have that. You know, I have some compliant things I can have, but I really enjoy the vegetables and the potatoes and the hummus. Those are my favorite things to eat.
And what does your meal, what do your meals look like on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis?
I keep things really simple because I'm just cooking for me. So my breakfast will be overnight oats with some fruit on top. And then lunches at work will be some quinoa with a pound of frozen veggie that I zap in the microwave. And dinner is another pound of frozen veg with potatoes and some hummus, air-fried potatoes and hummus. It's my typical meals.
Okay. And do you have like a 30-day meal plan where you cook something different every day and you've got to get new ingredients and think about it?
No, not at all. I love where you say, you know, find three or four meals that you could rotate. I mean, since I'm cooking for me, I'm just doing the easy stuff. But I had guests at my home after my daughter's wedding, and I made meals ahead of time that I could freeze from your book. And I had compliant meals ready to go after work. And I picked three meals and rotated them. You know, I know it's more planning when you've got a family and you've got hungry kids to feed. It's easier when it's just one person. But no, I don't make it complicated. You don't need to make it complicated.
You really don't. Yeah, I had a comment the other day on Instagram, and someone was asking, well, they were saying, like, I like how you build your meals and things. I just need to find seven meals, basically, it wasn't just seven meals. It was seven breakfasts, seven lunches, seven dinners. I was like, dude, like, you're making this far more complicated than it needs to be. Like, have three, have a breakfast, a lunch, and a dinner, and then rotate that based on seasons, rotate that based on the veggies or the starch that you like. Right. I'd love to hear from you, because obviously we know this works. I've seen this time and time again with people. The more simple you keep it, the more you can build your reps, the more this becomes autopilot. Mm-hmm. I'd love to hear from you. Like, what's your thought process or reasoning around keeping things simple?
Well, when I first started, it's because I was just cooking for me. Once the kids left the house, I stopped cooking. My husband has always been someone who just eats out or eats when he's rarely can be counted on to be home for dinner time. So he wasn't here, and why bother cooking for me? So it was just me. And then I needed to keep it simple to start with, because I had got out of the habit of cooking and that was overwhelming. And so I did the microwave vegetables, and that worked perfect, because then I wasn't wasting things that didn't get eaten if I decided I didn't want that vegetable. And air fried potatoes. My coach said, you need to get an air fryer. So I ordered an air fryer, and that was a game changer. And because, you know, I always love French fries and, you know, those kind of crispy potatoes. And now I can have that with my air fryer. And if you smash them really big, it looks like you're eating more potatoes. That's a really good one when, you know, when you're first starting, if your mind, I don't know, my mind, because I dieted the whole time, almost my life, made me think I was cutting back. And so, you know, that was a trick that it made like it was more.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I wasn't hungry, I know that probably also sounds weird, but it looked like I was eating more food because I could smash them really thin and they looked big.
Mm. So. And did you have any trouble when you first started with adjusting your taste buds?
No, actually I didn't. I had cut out oil a couple years ago, so I didn't have to do that adjustment. I'd already done that. I'd been water sauteing and, you know, not using oil in there. I hadn't stopped dairy, but actually that wasn't as hard of a swap as I thought it would be. And I already liked vegetables. I just tried different ones, and there were some I didn't care for, but I've discovered a whole bunch of vegetables that I do like. So I didn't really have too much trouble with that.
Mm. And let's talk a little bit about just that consistency piece, because it's one thing to start to eat more food. That's an instant help. A lot of people, even when they know that and they know exactly what they need to do, they still struggle with consistency. How was it for you having a coach, having accountability, having a community? How did that affect your consistency?
Having a coach, I think, is really crucial. Like I said, within 3 days when I started, she was like, whoa, you're not eating enough carbs. And you had someone that you could reach out to and they could give you advice on course, all things, not just the food. And the positive community is really helpful. I mean, as a rule, women aren't positive and supportive to each other like that. And it's nice that you have a place where you can, whether you're frustrated or you're sharing a win, and people would share their struggles and you didn't feel like you were alone, because I'm the only one I know eating this way. Hmm. And so I am truly walking this journey alone in my environment and in my friends and in my family. And so it's good to have other people. So the positive community is really helpful. I may not post all the time, but I read the posts and I do post periodically. And then the coach, always being able to reach out for a coach, I think that's really helpful, because there's been many times in the journey I wasn't sure what I was supposed to eat, or I was struggling with something or whatever, and they were there to give me the advice and the recommendations.
Mm.
And I, you know, you weren't alone, and sometimes you can't figure things out on your own. I mean, obviously, if I could figure things out on my own, I would have done it decades ago, right?
Yeah, I want to kind of hone in on this idea of having a positive influence or a positive force in the journey. And I'd love to hear from you, from going from beating yourself up, feeling like a failure, having those moments of feeling like inadequate and that you didn't have enough willpower, to now being someone who said, hey, I'm going to learn from failure. And it didn't go perfectly, but I understand it. Talk me through how your mindset has changed around being more positive and optimistic about yourself in that, or moving away from thinking that you're a failure.
Once I started seeing the weight go off, it was like a switch inside. And I realized that I had been holding myself back. I had been doing all the wrong things. And now I was free of that. And I had tools and I had resources and I had a coach that I could reach out to. It just totally changed the way I thought. And I realized I could do all kinds of hard things that I didn't think I could do. So
what's your self-talk like now, rather than, oh, you're a failure, or oh, don't try? What kind of things do you find yourself saying?
I will tell myself I can do hard things if I'm scared to do something or I'm nervous about doing something. I'm still struggling with this body positive. And so my coaches have me do some self-affirmations and they're kind of weird sounding right now. So I have not got success with that, but I'm working on it. But when I fail, I work really hard to learn from it. So if I do something and I can't figure out why I did it, I will sit and study with it to try to figure out, because I can't change my behavior if I don't know why I did it. And so there's been a couple times I've reached out to my coach and be like, I did this and I don't know why I did it. Help me figure. And they were able to help me figure out why I did it. Because then I could recognize it. Sometimes stress or emotional eating shows up in a way that I don't recognize as such. And so it can sideline me for a minute. It doesn't take me down. I may eat something briefly that I shouldn't. But the briefly is important. In the past, I was a binger. If I messed up, I binged. So I may go, why did I have that cookie at work? I wasn't hungry, you know? And so figuring those things out, and those have become less and less and less as I've gotten more confident eating this way. And as I've gotten stronger and figuring out, you know, why I'm doing things, I find less, I have less temptation and less things like that. While we were on vacation, we were walking, we were in downtown Savannah and there were people with ice cream. And I was like, oh, vacation, you're supposed to have ice cream on vacation. You have these thoughts fly into your head. And I was like, no, you don't have to have ice cream because you're on vacation. So I'm able to grab those thoughts a lot faster and figure out why I'm feeling them. And then generally not acting on them. I wasn't hungry. I didn't need ice cream. Just this, obviously we always got ice cream when we were on vacation.
It sounds like there's a lot more curiosity in why am I thinking this? Like, what's making me have this thought? What went wrong, if you will, that caused a binge, as opposed to just default judgment?
Right. Absolutely. And like you said, I can't change my behavior if I don't know why I did it. And so I really am curious about it and evaluate the situation or the circumstances. And I've made that, this has been part of my journey. And obviously that's been a process. I had to do it a lot more when I first started. But sometimes things will come out of the blue now and I'll be like, why am I wanting to do that? Or why did I grab that? So, it's huge to not feel like I'm a failure. I've made a poor choice or whatever. And now I'm learning from it so that I can have a plan and not make that choice next time, have something better.
It's being data driven as opposed to just falling into those destructive emotional impulses of, oh, I just feel bad. It's
exactly. And part of that systems too. I kind of apply that to that. If there's a problem going on, I'm not the problem. My system's the problem. So what do I need to change? Yeah. That was a powerful podcast. When I listened to that one, it was like an eye opener.
Tell me what that, I want to hear more about that. Yeah. I'm really keen to hear more. Like, what do systems mean to you?
Well, I can't remember exactly how you worded in the podcast. It was a while since I listened to it, but if we're having trouble, eating the wrong foods, then why are they in the refrigerator? Or why are we going to this environment? Or, you know, change, instead of blaming us for these things, looking at what we need to change. And I've always done that kind of stuff at work, but I never applied it to me at home. And so that was really freeing because no longer was I judging myself. It was like, okay, what broke down here? And then you can change. So if that prep wasn't working, let's try a different type of prep instead of saying, oh, I can't prep food. I'm just a failure. Okay, that was too complicated for me. Let me try this, you know. So evaluating and looking at it as my system, as opposed to an internal, I'm not good enough, I'm a failure, I can't do anything, you know, those kind of along those lines.
Yeah, so it's a huge shift in mindset, and it's definitely been helpful for me as well, because you're planning for low motivation, laziness, lack of self-control, lack of discipline, all these things that we, if we're really honest, we know that we have those hang-ups, and we know that we'll revert to the easiest thing. So why not make your diet and what you want to eat, the behavior you want to do, the easiest, most obvious, satisfying thing?
Right.
And then put barriers between the negative behaviors.
Yeah. So keeping it simple works. I'm happy with eating this way. I mean, at some point I may actually cook an official meal, but I like my frozen veggies and it works.
Mm. What other kind of systems do you have to make it easy for yourself to follow through on this?
Well, I don't live in a house where when you have that hard conversation, it gets any result. So there's all kinds of junk in the house. There's all kinds of stuff. I can't clear the stuff out of my house. And so what I did was I have a couple of shelves in the refrigerator and the freezer that are labeled just for me. And I have one pantry cupboard that's labeled that's just for me. And so when I open the refrigerator, I don't even look at the other stuff. I just look at my shelves. I had to have a system that would work because I don't have the option to get rid of the other stuff. You know, I can't clear out my environment. Those hard conversations don't matter. They're not going to make a change there. So I had to figure out a system that would work and that those things wouldn't trigger me. I don't even open the pantry that my husband keeps the junk in because I don't need to. My stuff's on the other side.
Is that a different pantry that you have stuff in?
Yes, I have a different cupboard that's for mine. And then he's got another cupboard for his.
That's so fascinating to me. And I love this so much that you actually, rather than saying, oh, I can't get stuff out of my house, like I'm screwed, you actually came up with some kind of system. Again, it might not be perfect, but it's working.
Yeah. So when you open my refrigerator, people will have commented on the two shelves that say no Bruce because that's my shelves. Same thing in the freezer, but that works. And that's all I look at when I open the refrigerator. I look at my part of the refrigerator. I don't even look at the rest.
Okay, so does it say Ginger or does it just say no Bruce?
No Bruce. It works better that way. My name might just be there's extra room there. He'll put stuff there anyway. So it was stupid, but you got it. Worked with what you got.
Yeah, did you have your name initially and then find out that wasn't working?
Yes, that didn't work. So
I hope that everyone listening to this podcast is really getting why you've been successful and that you are adapting to your circumstances, the things that are difficult about your environment and your unique situation, and you are flipping proactive about making systems that work for you.
Yep. And that's important. Whatever that system is, that's important. You have to find something that works, because if our systems aren't working, we're just tripping ourselves.
So have you always had, well, I'm guessing no, but this level of proactivity, of really looking at what's going on, what are my obstacles, being honest about that, being someone who takes radical responsibility, what I would call the hero of their story. They go, I'm going to knock this barrier down, like no one's going to hold me back. When did you get that?
Well, obviously I didn't have it until recently. So no, I was always more of, I'm not going to say completely a victim, but I felt like I was powerless to change some things. And that was frustrating. I couldn't affect change where I needed to make it change. So, I mean, I know that is kind of a victim, but I also think of a victim as someone who's like, oh, poor me, everything's, you know, and I didn't do that, but I felt like I couldn't change anything. So as I started eating this way and started losing the weight and started understanding what I needed to do for me, you know, once my brain made that switch that I was worth doing these things, it became easier for me to be proactive where I needed to be and to make changes. Like, okay, this system's not working. There's no room for my food. We're going to have to do something and I'm not, I have a fight about it every week. So we're going to do this. So it was a process. I don't know where in my journey it exactly happened. I remember when I put the tape on, but I don't know what it was.
I'm sure it started with just tiny steps and then evidence built over time that this can happen.
Right. And you have to figure out what works for you, because a system that works for me is not necessarily going to work for you or for someone else. We're all different individuals. And so we need different type of systems. Plus we're in different places. You know, yeah. I would cook differently if the kids were at home and I was cooking for the children. There would be, I'd still prep and keep it simple, but it would be different from what I'm doing now.
Yeah, exactly. And this is why it's so important that we understand this from a conceptual level, that, yeah, you got to eat enough food. Yeah, you got to get into a calorie deficit. And then systems wise, you got to make it easy. You got to make it obvious. That's going to look different for every person, mm-hmm. depending on where they're coming from.
Exactly. Exactly.
Did you have any light bulb moments or situations where you can distinctly remember, hey, this is starting to click for me?
The first click I had was the first week when I finally wasn't starving and yet the scale was going down. That was the first thing that clicked. It was like, you really can't. I mean, I've been watching the videos, the YouTube and the stuff, and it really clicked that it would work, that it really could work. Cause it came off pretty quickly at first. You know, the last 10 have been the pokey, and now I'm down to the last 5, but it came off pretty fast, which amazed me. And so that reinforced that what I was doing was working. And I know it doesn't always come off quickly for everybody, but if you pull back and look at the scale, hopefully you're seeing that downward trend, you know, and right now I'm in the slow phase, and that's okay. That's not bothering me anymore. It would have in the past. I would have thought, well, geez, I guess you can't get it all off. You might as well give up, which I know, again, is stupid thinking. That's probably what I would have done. And now I'm just going to keep on keeping on. I know how to eat. I know what to do. And yeah, the scale is still kinking down, not as quick as I'd like, but it is getting there. And so I'm just going to keep going.
It's become a lifestyle for you at this point.
Yes. And that's how it's going to be. This is how I'm going to eat the rest of my life. I don't want to continue to yo-yo diet anymore. Absolutely not. I know people are waiting for that to happen. You know, most of my family and my friends know any comments on the weight loss. They all thought I lost it for my daughter's wedding. And based on history, they're just figure it's going to come back up again. So they're going to be surprised when I continue to bring my food and I continue to eat this way.
Are you feeling different? Because I remember feeling that as well. I lost all the weight and then I would gain it back. But I knew that when I found this and it all clicked, I knew that it was the last time. I'm like, I'm done. That weight's gone. Like, bye. Are you feeling like that?
I'm definitely feeling like that. And so it's such a hopeful thing, because, you know, after spending decades trying to lose weight, to first of all think I couldn't do it, and then to be able to sustain it, because that was my goal, was not just to lose the weight, but be done with the yo-yo dieting and to be free of it, to, you know, find a healthy way to eat. And yeah, I know I can maintain this, and I feel good about that. You know, eating this way is not hard. I mean, you don't start with 2 pounds of veggie a day. You know, you work your way there, but it's not hard to eat this way. Just has a little pain.
Yeah, I'm just so flippin' proud of you.
Thank you. I'm pretty proud of myself too, actually.
Yeah, you are. Like, you damn well should be. So I'd love to hear from you for someone who is in a similar situation. They've been trying to lose weight for many decades. They've tried many things. They feel like a failure. Maybe they're older as well. Do you have any advice for someone like that who's listening?
Do your tiny steps and be consistent and fail faster, and you're going to see a change. Reach out to your coach if you're in the coaching program, because they're there as resources and help and encouragement, sometimes just a cheerleader. Some days I just reached out because I needed a cheerleader and they were there. But don't give up. You're worth it. You're worth the effort. You're worth the time. You're worth changing your habits, and you can do it.
I'm guessing you tell people to eat more.
Yes. Don't starve yourself.
Yeah, it truly doesn't work. It always baffled me as well, because I was always trying to eat less. And then I think I remember seeing a graph one time, and they looked at you're eating super low calories during the week, Monday to Friday. Like, let's say you're eating 1500 calories, and then Saturday to Sunday, you have these 5000 calories, and you do the math on that, and you'd be so much better off to be eating 2000 calories a day consistently. You'd be eating less calories over the week, but avoiding those big binges. And it's like, it's not magic. It's not reverse dieting. It's not, you're not tricking your body or doing any of these kooky things that people say you can. It's literally just math.
And you have to have a plan too. You have to have a plan for those long held family traditions, or the food pushers in your family, or the social situations that you're under pressure. You have to have a plan for how you're going to handle that. And you talk about that in several of your, you know, podcasts with your curveballs and stuff, but you have to figure out, you know, my mother is a food pusher and a food criticizer. So she pushes the food, but then if you eat more than she thinks you should, then she's telling you to stop. And so you have to have a plan for that. That's not going to change. So that's a story that I can't get rid of. So having a plan, and at first my plan was I didn't have any meals around her until I was stronger. And then I would either take my food, which she didn't like, or I'd take her to a restaurant where I could get a compliant meal. And so, but the first 6 months, I didn't have any meals with her for that reason, other than Thanksgiving. But I brought my food and I sat in the other room, so she didn't know I brought my own food.
That's very intentional. That's a very intentional way to deal with social situations. Were you aware at that point that you were putting a stake in the ground, or did it just happen naturally?
No, I was aware. I knew there were several areas I needed to put a stake in, and I knew I needed to get myself where I needed to be without being around a food pusher. And then at work, we have a chocolate drawer all the time, or actually a candy drawer, and we have an Oreo cookie contest all the time. And I knew I had to put a stake in the ground and have a plan. And so I got me a compliant chocolate thing for my desk for if it was too much. And every single day I walked, because I walked past that drawer, I don't know, 1,000 times. And I would just tell myself, I am a woman who chooses not to get in the chocolate drawer. And I needed to do that because I knew that this was a temptation. I got in that drawer every single day, if not once, 3 or 4 or 5 times. And not only that, people are like, here, you haven't had some chocolate today. Here, have, you know, so I had to have a plan. And that was how I handled it. And it was hard at first, but I realized it was a habit that I was just going into, and stress, habit and stress. So, but I had to have a plan for that. And I knew that. And if it got to be too much, I had some compliant vegan chocolate that I could eat, even if I wasn't hungry, but just the temptation was too much. But you have to have plans with situations like that. It's important because we can't always control those situations. And there's, particularly if they're consistent, you know, there's going to be curveballs where you don't know and you just do the best you can, you know. But if you've got, you know, a food pusher, or if you've got that kind of stuff, you know it's going to be there.
Yeah.
And I couldn't, what I couldn't do at work was tell them I was staying out of the chocolate drawer, because that would not have been helpful. Because one of the ladies I work with, she told people to keep her away from the chocolate drawer because, you know, she was trying to lose weight. And when she stayed out of the chocolate drawer half the day, they went and put some on her desk, you know.
I couldn't
tell people I was staying out of the chocolate drawer because it would have showed up on my desk.
Right.
So, you know, that's what worked for me. And then now I also use that I got from Kirsten. If there's food that, and it's usually at work where we've had a pitch in or something, those kind of things. And sometimes things will be tempting. And I just tell myself, that's not my food. That's what she uses. That's not my food. And that helps for those times I'm tempted for something that I don't really want to eat. It's not that I'm hungry, but, you know, those old triggers still show up sometimes. They still pop in. And so I tell myself, that's not my food. And that helps.
And do you have food with you in that situation as well? Like, you, do you have your food there?
I do. I take food with me, you know, when I go places, and I try to plan ahead, or unknowns. That's been something that's really different. My best friend and I went, we've gone to a couple festivals, and so I got up early and I ate lunch for breakfast. So I had my pound of veggies and my potatoes. And then I took carrots with me and I got a pretzel without butter. And I ate my carrots around all these people and they were all looking at me like I was this strange person, but I ate them anyway. And so I would never have done that before. It would just been like a vacation day, eat whatever you want.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to plan when I'm in more unknown situations and people are used to me bringing, you know, my carrots or my potato or my whatever.
It's a phenomenal amount of foresight and planning. And it's all things that when I hear it, it sounds really obvious to me, but it's all things that very few people do. Like bring food with you so that you're not tempted, but most people won't do that.
Yeah. I mean, I remember when I first started, I had gone somewhere and I didn't have food and I was hungry and I gave in and ate something. And I know I was so frustrated with myself and my coach was like, just take some food with you, doofus. That's what you're supposed to do. And so, you know, I made sure I had some food with me. So if that happened again, you know, so that only happened once because I had a plan and I don't always need the food, but if you have food with you, then you're not going to starve.
It's essentially just not making the same kind of mistakes twice.
Right. Learning. Like when I flew out to see my son, I had paid attention to what people said and I took food and I had a collapsible bowl and, you know, my silverware, and I did real well on the way out. And on the way back, I forgot to pick up carrots. And so then I was like, oh, darn, I have no food with me. So, you know, I learned. You got to plan for the flight there at the hotel and the way back.
I missed it.
So then I, you know, just had to grab something in the airport, which was not ideal, but I learned from it and said, okay, you forgot half your, you got two thirds of your planning. You forgot the last third.
Yeah. It's almost like being able to see yourself more of kind of detached from yourself, or like you are like a parent and a child, and say, well, what's the reason that this kid is yelling and screaming? Is it because they're tired? Is it because they're hungry? Is it because their sister pulled their hair? Like, we don't just look at a kid and say, like, get it together. Like, well, maybe some people do, but I think most good parents are trying to figure out, like, what's the reason that this is not going well. But we don't do that for ourselves. We do what you and I both did for many years and just never change our behavior, never change our systems, but constantly call ourselves a failure, but then do the same dumb thing over and over and over again and expect some kind of different result.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's wild.
So that's really freeing to have that mindset now. It's, I didn't realize how pervasive it was, how it just overflowed on everything in my life. And now I know I'm not a failure. I may do some things that I need to do better, or I may make mistakes, but I'm not a failure. I learned from it. And that's a huge thing. And yeah, you can't do the same thing over and over and over again and expect to get a different result. I know, I tried for decades. It doesn't work.
Yeah, it's like, take it from Ginger. She's been there.
That's not a surprise to anyone. They all know that.
There's this quote that I love, and it's a James Clear quote, and he says that disciplined people don't have more willpower. They just have a more disciplined environment.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that they don't say no automatically to the chocolates in the work drawer. It's that they have one, they have a backup. They have food they can eat. They have a mantra to say when they go past it. They eat enough food so then they're not tempted. Like it's all looking at this in terms of systems. And then those little mantras, those little mindset changes happen when we have the evidence that I can say no, like I'm capable of this, I'm capable of a little bit of growth.
And that was important, the way I worded that early one. It wasn't that I can't get into the chocolate drawer, is I choose not to. That's that's a different kind of a statement. That's me making a choice and not depriving myself of something. So that was really huge for me, because I choose not to.
Is that different from who you were in the past?
Absolutely. I would have said, I can't get into the chocolate drawer. I'm trying to lose weight. And now you're moving into feeling you're like you're deprived and you can't eat anything fun, or you all those things go in. You'll never be able to have this again or that again. It's taking control of your situation and making a choice that's better for you.
Mm. realizing that you can take up space, that you have industry, that you can be proactive. I love that you've touched on being able to do this in social situations, because you said that that wasn't who you were a year ago. Mm. But like, man, now you sound like a total baddie. You're just taking up space left, right, and center. How did you navigate that in the beginning? I'm so curious how you just started.
I started the week before Thanksgiving. So this was a big deal because I had Thanksgiving to deal with.
Yeah.
And my mother fixes Thanksgiving, and this is her big deal. You don't insult the cook by bringing food. And so she makes all this food, and then she makes 12 pies. And, you know, it was a huge thing. So I asked her to make me a sweet potato, which she often makes. And then I just brought my own dessert and other stuff, but I had to eat in the other room. So she wouldn't know I did it, because, you know, offending the cook's a bad thing. And my nieces and nephews just looked at me because I was kind of weird, but nobody said anything.
Mm.
And then once I navigated that, that gave me a lot more confidence. Because I was really nervous about that. I'd only been with Lean with Plants a week, and I'm like, I can't skip this day. You know what? Thanksgiving is huge. I mean, there's just so much food and so much sweets and so much pressure and so much family tradition, you know, all that stuff. So I wasn't going to skip it. So I had my plan, and it worked well. And that gave me confidence. And then Christmas came around. And so I reached out to my sister who hosts that to see what she was making, to see if I needed to bring anything. And so she was making something I could eat. And then I brought the other part. And then we got to Easter, and my other sister hosts that. And she did everything. She's like, oh, I'll make you veggies without oil. No big deal. I didn't have to bring anything, but I advocated by asking, you know, can you tell me what your menu is? I didn't ask them to make me anything special, but can you tell me what your menu is? And then I can, see what I need to bring and those kind of things. And it just got easier each time I did it. It got easier. I never said, I need you to make me a vegan meal, or I need you to make me this, this, or this. I just was always checking to see what people were making, to see what I needed to bring.
It's almost like coming back to that curious versus judgment. You're just curious. Like, what are you bringing? What's going to be there? Okay, well, I'll do this. I'm going to make my plan. I'm going to gather information, then I'm going to go and change things.
Right. Because I'm not going to go back to those old eating habits just because it's Christmas or Thanksgiving or Easter. Mm. I need to do something different. And so I think people are going to be surprised when I still do that this holiday season. Because like I said, I think they're just all waiting for it to come back. Now that the wedding's over, you know.
Yeah. I'm really glad that we're having this conversation and people are hearing this from you and not me again, because I think I've said this so many times. You need to take up space. You need to start becoming a different person. The way you show up in social situations, the way that you shop, the way that you bring food into your home, prepare food, all of that needs to change. If you're going to change your lifestyle, like, everything changes, because we have so much set up around food. And what I really like about this is that it's almost like, I heard this thing the other day, and have you ever heard of something being cringe? If people quite often talk about this on Instagram, on the internet, they say, oh, that's cringe. Have you heard that before?
I haven't heard that, but I can guess what it means.
You can guess what it means. Yeah. And quite often people will comment, oh, that's cringe, when they see someone doing a dance, or they're posing a certain way, or they're just doing something that's like a little bit out there, maybe a little bit embarrassing. I saw this reel on Instagram and I thought it was great. And the girl was saying, it's a service to the world to be cringe, because first of all, you teach yourself that you can do things that are embarrassing and difficult and put yourself out there, and you survive. You can do hard things. Exactly. You teach yourself that you can survive that. And then you also show other people around you that it's okay to be yourself. It's okay to do what you need to do to show up as who you want to be in the world. I love that you're sharing that. And this is like the cold, hard truth of it. The more that you do that, the more you put stakes in the ground, the more that you say, I'm going to show up in this radical way that no one understands, embrace being misunderstood, the more that you teach yourself very fast that you can actually change. If you draw that process out and you eat, I'm putting air quotes, good at home mm-hmm. and then you eat the same when you go out to dinner or you're with family, it's very hard to change your behavior long term because you haven't actually put any stake in the ground and you've never taught yourself you can do something different.
And each time you do it, it gets easier.
Yeah.
It gets easier each time. I was really nervous at first, but it gets easier. And we're like, I think I said, we're worth that. I mean, we need to do what we need to do to maintain our healthy lifestyles or to maintain whatever it is we need to do. We all need those things.
Yeah. It's kind of coming full circle. What you said in the beginning, you saw that woman getting out of her car. She was obviously uncomfortable. It was difficult. And you just made a choice. Like, if I want to change, I'm going to have to change. And if we want this.
And I didn't want to get up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really didn't want to get up, but I didn't know what else to do. I was feeling very hopeless, very hopeless.
And so I love that you had that bravery to try something new, to eat more food, to do tiny habits, to become an entirely new person. And it's amazing just even here, like this conversation and how much I've been able to see you change over that year since we talked last.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I was so unsure and nervous and intimidated at our first conversation.
That's crazy.
Well, part of that taking up space, I felt like I didn't deserve to take up space. And I felt awkward and I felt like, you know, I don't know, just all those kind of emotions that hit, but I feel like a different person.
So to wrap this up, Ginger, when you think about everything that you've learned over the past year, these 33 pounds that you've lost. You're so close to your goal. I know your goal is 35, isn't it?
I actually added another 5 onto it. So my goal is 30. Mm-hmm.
So your goal has shifted, which is also crazy and very cool. What out of everything you've learned, if you could just sum up into one thing, what change can someone listening make that you think is going to have the most impact on their weight loss?
One thing, that's tough. I would say be consistent. I think that's the number one thing, be consistent.
And that's where it's at. Just be consistent. Be the person you want to be everywhere 100% of the time. And if you're struggling to do that, then make the changes you need. Do something different to what you've done so that you can actually change your system.
And reach out to your coach or, you know, those that can give you guidance. Don't be afraid to say, I'm struggling with XYZ. I think we do that a lot. We try to pretend that we're doing okay when we need some help.
Yeah, that's huge. Thank you so much, Ginger. It's absolutely a pleasure to hear your insights. I got so many nuggets that were impactful for me, and I know this is going to be super impactful to everyone listening. So thank you for being generous with your story.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.